but a small group can make a lot of noise. If we wanted to. We can make a lot of noise. And you know it's always in my heart that we stand up, be seen, represent well. But there are deep issues that this nation is involved in. And I share with my wife something I believe the Lord is telling me. Maybe I'll reveal it to you later, but there are two churches growing up in this nation. The true church and the church that you find in the book of Revelation. There's only two. Just as there's only two men in this world. The first Adam and the last Adam. Basically, everything stems out of those two. But we are living, and I've been noticing something, and I noticed something that started down here, and now it's becoming an albatross on this nation. And that is your job, if you notice how your job has changed. Most jobs now want you to do more with less. Most jobs now try to do things to get you released, regardless of your longevity on the job. Micromanagement is at an all-time high. Your job seems to have changed to the point where you're no longer the important factor. The paperwork is. You can be phased out because we can have someone do your job and theirs too. It is a symbol of control that we're finding in our job. And it started down here, but now it's growing. Well, now it's becoming a nationwide snare. Because we're becoming more and more and more a nation run by government. No longer are we a nation for the people, by the people. I don't know if you've opened your ears and eyes to your environment. But we are living in a dangerous time where everything will be run for you. Your iPhones, your tablets, your means of communications are all going to change, and they're not going to be run by you like you suppose. Your life will be dictated so that you will be government run, government owned. I prophesy that you will see a change in this nation that will shock the world because control is being taken out of your hands. Even right now, you are the food you eat is controlled. The food you eat is controlled, and it is designed to put you on medication. How important is it to pray? Remember this, two churches. Revelation calls it the great whore. rising up, even as we speak. It's not even a denominational battle. It's control. And so, I encourage you to pray. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for this nation. Continue to pray for this world. Because there is a shaping going on even as we speak. There's a reshaping. Cultures are being reshaped. The meaning of boy and girl is being reshaped. The meaning of family is being reshaped. We are living in the last days. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for what you're about to say. Thank you for encouraging us. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive. Let your word be a blessing to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week, we began talking about the word rule world. It was an awakening thing for some of us. Once you understand and read the Bible, it will be very clear to you what we are saying and what we're going through, what we're experiencing in the Word of God. Now, we began last week in Matthew chapter 4. And we experienced or witnessed to an epic battle to give us an idea of the position that we as the church are in. We saw last week that Jesus, at the very beginning of his earthly ministry, we saw his baptism, we saw his temptation. And while he was out in the wilderness, he ran into the adversary. I should say the adversary was waiting on him. Just as he was waiting on Adam and Eve. Have you noticed that? That he was waiting on Adam? He was waiting on Eve? And when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, there he was with his temptation. And the first thing he wanted to do, as we said last week, Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, of course, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, you're going to be hungry. The first thing that Satan latched onto was that, but that was not the main thing. That was the first thing. That was what we could say was the visual. The visual was that he would tempt Jesus out of his weakness, as he thought. He figured like, well, he's hungry, so he's weak right now. Satan will always attack you in weakness, what he supposes is your weak spot. But the scriptures, that's why we have to go to the scriptures, because the scripture says when we're weak, glory to God, that's when we're strong. And so he went to Jesus, and the thing that he disguised as he tempted him out of his weakness, he disguised the fact that what he was actually doing was battling a word. He wanted to see Jesus because he didn't. It says in our Bibles, in some Bibles it says, if you be the Son of God. But he wasn't doubting that he was the Son of God. He was saying, since you are. Since you are. the Son of God. Command these stones be turned into bread. He knows God's power. He knows God's speaking ability. He was there when God created everything because God created him. I believe that God created him first and then he watched God do everything. I believe God created the angels before he started spewing out the universe. I believe that Satan heard and he knows God's speaking ability. God has the ability to speak something out of nothing. It's God who calls things to be not as though they are. He sees that ability in God. He knows that God is a speaking God. Sometimes we think about God, we actually don't focus on his ability to speak into existence. We are enamored by his power, but we know that the worlds are upheld by the words of his power. What his power lies in is his words. It's what God's speaking ability brings to fruition. God brings everything out of nothing. Nothing that has been made could have been made if God had not spoken it. So Satan says, command. He wants to see if Jesus has this speaking power because he says, since you are the Son of God, his real deal was he was trying to say, okay, you're the Son of God, but are you God? You're the Son of God, but are you God? Joke or slick. I know you, since you are the Son of God, but are you God? Can you speak on this earth like God? Turn that stone into bread. Speak it. That's what command means. Yeah. Say it. Speak it. And when Jesus was met with this threat, he responded with the word, which shows us that that's how this world with an enemy living in it is supposed to be ruled. The world is supposed to be ruled by the word. Adam was a speaking spirit. He spoke. God gave him the authority to speak over dominion, gave him rulership, gave him authority over the earth. What kind of authority? The authority to speak it. God trained him by telling him, name all the animals first. And the Bible says, and whatever he called it, that's what it was. He said it, and that's what it was. When God spoke everything into creation, he said it, and that's what it was. Let there be light. And it was. Let there be a firmament in the heaven. And it was. God speaks it into existence. He puts a man on earth to rule and reign on earth, yet have power over the universe. But he gave him a speaking authority. Just speak. This may be a little strong for your mind. Ask the Lord to help you. Because your mind might start fighting and battling and I don't believe that and doubt comes in. Let me explain it. We're going to get to doubt. We'll get to that. But for a God who says that all things are possible to them that believe, I've got to start taking that into account that he means it. Amen. When are we going to take God serious? He is serious. He gave me this authority. Right words or words spoken rightly have the ability to create, shape, and manipulate. Right words or words spoken rightly have the ability to create, shape, and manipulate one's atmosphere. See, we see this all the time. We see the paper. We read the paper all the time. And sometimes we become so enthralled in what the paper says that we forget what God is saying. And that causes us, because whatever you feed the most is what you're going to have. And if you have a lot of this over that, then your belief system is going to be caught up in this. That's what you got to learn how to start doing. Because this is rubbish. This does not define who you are. It does not define where you're going. We have to learn how to stop taking man's word and throwing it down. Because it's the word of God that what we are supposed to be thriving, hallelujah, under the word of God. That's what we're supposed to be. You have to have right words. But understand that it can't just be right speaking. Can't just be right speaking. Let's jump the fence. It has to be right words, and behind right words, there has to be a right heart. Jesus. Has to be a right heart behind right words. Remember, Jesus made mention of this. He said, you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart far from me. There has to be a right heart to produce right speaking. Right words come out of a right heart. Y'all got to stay with me now. He said this, there has to be a right heart, because a right heart will produce right speaking. Let's go to Matthew and see what Jesus had to say in Matthew 12. Hallelujah. I listened to last week's tape, and I'm telling you the honest truth, I was blessed. I was saying, who is that preacher? See, when I'm hearing it, it's not me. It doesn't seem like it's me. I don't talk like that. So I find myself caught up listening. You see? I'm caught up. Matthew 12. God is a good God. And he's letting us in on something. I'm telling you. Let's go to verse 30. Matthew 12. Listen to Jesus. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. You know, when I read that scripture, I thought this is how you eliminate church squabbles. Because sometimes if you're not preaching like another church or a pastor, they think that you're preaching something contrary. And I thought, well, if they're preaching and they're trying to get people to come to Jesus, how can that be contrary? Maybe they don't have the intelligence that you have, or the so-called gospel acumen that you have. That doesn't mean that they're wrong. Jesus said, as long as they're not against me, they're for me. As long as they're not scattering, they're with me. And I thought that maybe some people need to read that and understand that Jesus' his word is stronger than your doctrine. And he says this, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You can't speak right words out of a heart that's not right. You can't do it. So that eliminates just speaking things, calling things, prophesying things, claiming things. If your heart's not right, if your heart beats right, if your heart beats right, the song says that if your heart beats right, if your heart beats right, then you're able to speak right things. But Jesus says you can't speak right things out of a bad. You can't. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Jesus is saying it's impossible. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't say too much of anything except it come out of your heart. Lord have mercy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. And listen to this. Listen close. For by your words you will be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. And somehow we've been duped to thinking and believing that it's not about what we say. Do you think you can say anything you want to and get by? No, you cannot. It didn't say anything about your works. It didn't say anything about your activities. It said, by your words. You'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. And this is at judgment. Huh? Now, something as powerful as that, with an indictment as powerful as that, must mean that your mouth has a higher purpose. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Your mouth must have a higher purpose. Your mouth is worth a higher purpose than calling somebody's name. Much higher purpose than communication. Much higher purpose than slander. I said last week that out of all the wars we've had, more people have died just by word of mouth than they have in the first two wars, the World War I and II, Korean War, Vietnam. We have killed more people with what we've said.
Amen.
I just believe that there have been more dead people left laden just by spoken words. I think about the people who have the ability to speak somebody's future just by saying yes or no, and they say no. Here's a man needs a promotion on the job, and because you're jealous of him, you fail to vote for him and say he's all right, knowing that he's a good man. But because of jealousy, you say, no, I don't think he ought to have it. You slandered not only him, you slandered his whole family. Because his family depends on him. And you slandered him. When we tell our children, you won't amount to nothing. You get on my nerve. You make me sick. Wait till I get home. I'm going to kill you. Oh, we speak like that. Oh, yeah. We speak like that. We get so enraged with our children that sometimes we get so carried away. We say anything to them. We call them names. By your words, you'll be condemned. By your words, you'll be justified. I can't stand them. Make me sick. Get on my nerve. Get on my last nerve. We speak this. And whether you're realizing it or not, you speak it into the atmosphere. You speak these words. Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Speak it. A mouth that was initially created to be productive, to speak life, to control a universe. Hallelujah. God created a universe to fit us so that we could run the universe. But because of the failure of Adam and Eve, now we must have a born-again experience. In order for that to happen, we must understand that when that does occur, now we have to fit the universe. The opposite now. What used to fit us, now we have to fit. Now we have to fit. We have to fit. Everything is out of whack because man messed up with the mouth. Well, we'll see in a minute. We'll see. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Let's look in Genesis 6 and 5. Or do you want to see how the mouth changed things? We may have to go back further. Let's go back further in Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Then we'll get to 6. Show you how they got duped. Look into verse 15, chapter 2, Genesis 2:15. Are you there? Yes. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God did what? Commanded. Spoke, saying, commanded the man, saying, of everything, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now last week we talked about command and commandment. Command is to say, speak. Now, a command is this. A command is manifested because it requires an act of obedience. Saying is just not saying. There must be obedience involved in speaking. See, when you speak something, that's why when we said last week, there are a lot of people saying, I'm calling that. You gotta be obedient first. You got to make sure you're walking in not just the command, but you're following his commandments. The commandment is God's laid out, established word. That means if you walk in it, what God promises will come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. When God speaks something as a command, what you're doing as a command, you have the authority to just agree with God on what he's commanding. Jesus. That means, here's the word. The word is confess. Confess means agree with God. When you're receiving, here's Adam and Eve receiving a word that all they have to do is agree with it. When they agree with it, they just repeat it wherever they go. Good God Almighty. They'll repeat what God has already said. When he says command, He said, say what I'm saying wherever you go. Okay? Say what I'm saying. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. That's all he had to do when his wife met Satan. Yes. Repeat what I said. Woo. Agree with what I said. Jesus did it. Agreed with it. Healing comes in your body when you agree with it. Agree with it. And he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He told him, repeat it. And when God spoke this, the repeating of it is in Adam. Eve didn't have to be there because Eve was in Adam. The word God spoke in Adam, he spoke it in Eve. So she heard it while she's in him because they're one. Let's go to chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you see, there he goes with that, since you be the son of God. He doesn't have a whole lot of lies. He used the same routine over and over again, but he's good with it. See, he's got a routine, but it's good. Matter of fact, his routine is perfect. He got a perfect routine. Has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, shouldn't be talking to him. Amen. Amen. Shouldn't be talking to him. We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not. Now she's telling him what God said instead of repeating God. All she had to do was refrain from trying to speak for herself. All she had to do was repeat and confess what God had said. Amen. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. She just kind of messed it up a little bit. Yeah. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He twisted. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Why try to be something that you already are? Why is she trying to be something that she already is? He duped her to making her think that she wasn't enough. You're not who you think you are. He pulled a rug right from under her. You're not who you think you are. God is lying to you. He's trying to say that the spoken word of God is a lie. That's what he says today. The word of God is a lie. They tell you today. You know? They tell you that a Christian is a fool. Speaking words like that. How you know there's a God? How you know Jesus is the Son of God? The word. I have the word. And now he came in and duped her. Did all he could, turned everything around. I want to show you that what happens when she did this, she opened a door in the universe. She opened a door in the universe for doubt to come in. Yeah. Doubt wasn't on the earth. Amen. Doubt wasn't in the universe. And then, not only did she use, that Satan used her words to expose things into this atmosphere that weren't here. Because first, he brought in doubt. Second, he brought in fear. Two of the worst enemies of faith came right through the door. Faith and doubt, fear and doubt came right in the universe. Just open it. That's what I said when you can't leave doors open. Close the doors. the scripture tells us that a husband and wife should never go to bed angry. God is saying, close the door before you go to sleep. Because the way you go to sleep is the way you're going to wake up. Oh, yeah. So, what do we have here? Now, I want to show you where the doubt came in, because Satan said, did God say? Now, look down at verse 10. Verse 9 to 10. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Doubt comes in. Fear comes in. These are two entities that were not a part of the universe that God had entrusted in Adam's hands. He didn't put that in his hands. They had the authority to speak God's word. Call everything what it should be. See, God gave man this authority. Lest we lose that. God gave man this authority. You speak it. Just speak. Say the right things. If you just say the right things, it'll be all right. And you'll have what Jesus said, what you say. We'll go there in a minute. This world we presently live in is something. Look in Genesis chapter 6 now. Let's look in 6 and 5. I'm going to show you this. Because, you know, when you read this and you start tying these scriptures together like Ephesians 6 and 12, and it start talking about, 6 and 10 and 11 and 12, it start talking about the whole arm of God. And it tells us what we're fighting against. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. Things like that. Listen to this in 6 and 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, when you have a group like this, that when you look at them and you find out that everything in their heart is on evil continually, what are you experiencing when you notice that? These people have to be talking. Scratch your head if you have to. If their hearts are full of evil, what is coming out of their mouth? Now, if it's a whole bunch of people, can you imagine what they're filling the atmosphere with? Now you understand why God had to send the flood. Because the flood will wipe away all that wicked conversation. The flood will clear the atmosphere. God was upset. Listen now. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He has two things here. Thoughts of the heart. That is important, because a lot of times, more often than not, a man speaks what he thinks. But it has to be something in his heart that will cause what he speaks to become his thoughts. See, you can have stuff bubbling on the inside of you and not say anything yet. See, you can have stuff in your heart that you harbor. Glory to God. And instead of you saying it right then, you're waiting for the right time to say it. It's in your heart, but now it becomes thoughts. Now you're forming and framing how you're going to say it. Jesus, help me talk. You are forming ways to say it. Now, see, sometimes we'll say things off the top of our head. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean it. But there are times when we plan it. It's in your heart, but you got to kind of figure out how you want to say it. I want to make sure I injure you when I speak this. I want to make sure that you hear me when I say what I'm saying. I want to make sure that it affects you and your household when it comes out of my mouth. I don't want to just hurt you. I want to hurt your wife, your children, your job if I have to. Yeah. Out of the mouth comes out. And so here are individuals who are, their thoughts of their heart are on evil continually. And it's so bad that God said, I'm sorry that I made man on the earth. Why? Because man was corrupting what God created for good. I'm sorry I put man on the earth. Devastating something that was supposed to have been made for good. I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But he found a man with grace, found Noah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Why am I going back to Genesis? Because this is what the original intent was. And this is really something. We're going to get back. Because we were talking about an evil man who brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So what am I saying? What comes out of us depends on what we're storing up in us. You better write that down. I'll say it again. What comes out of us depends on what we're storing up in us. Mm-hmm. It depends on what we're storing up on the inside. Now, we're gonna come back, but look at Genesis chapter 11, Tower of Babel. Amen. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass. Don't forget now, these are fallen people now. Regardless of what's going on, they're fallen because they're born in the similitude of Adam and Eve. This is Adam's great-great-grandson that's behind all of this, behind these charades. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then, listen to what they did. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. There's a problem here. We said that doubt came in. We said that fear came in. Now unbelief and deception. Simply because they are outright denying what God's plan is for man. God told Adam and Eve, when you go, I want you to repopulate. I want you to reproduce in abundance over this planet. God speaks a word that this will be a overpopulated earth that he has. He has people all over. These people made an outright decision by saying, let us. Not let God, let us. They're taking, you see, what they call pride. See, all of this comes in because of sin. The door is open, so everything comes through it. Pride comes in. Let us build ourselves. Let us get mortar. Let us. And they're speaking it. They are saying, we don't have to move around. We all speak one language. We just stay right here. And we'll build from here. God's idea is that man populate, move out. Listen to these people. They talk so loud. Sometimes you can talk loud, heaven will hear you. In the negative sense. Listen, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. He came down to see it. That means he may not have come down as God in some ethereal, gaseous perspective. He probably came down just like a man. You know when they went to visit Abraham. He and Jesus and the Holy Spirit came down as men. And they walked around Babel. And they were watching them build. And they're looking and they're saying, wow. Wow. They're trying to build a city to heaven. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build a place where only I'm allowed. I draw people to me. I don't let people come to me when they want to. Come up any kind of way they want to. And so he says this. He came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, the Lord is Jesus. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing, listen to what he's saying, because they're speaking this. Look at the power of speech. Look at the power of saying. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. They are talking up a storm. They are building and talking. What they need is being built by the words they speak. Let us build. Let us do this. Let us do that. They're saying it. And everything they need is miraculously right there where they want it. God had to come down and see it. They were doing so good with it. You think God came down to see their building skills? Mm-mm. God came down to experience their speaking ability. To see how they were misusing what God had initially given them for productivity. They're speaking things. And they all have one language, meaning they have a language that they all understand. They understand that we're speaking this thing, and they're getting results. And then the Lord said, let's confound them. Let's confound them. So that when they talk, they won't understand each other. Let's stop this. Let's halt this. Because if they keep on, nothing will be able to stop them. Nothing will be able to stop them. When the last time you seen God say that about a man? Boy. See what a long tradition of tongues we have? Our mouths go all the way back. Goodness gracious. And the enemy has gotten so deep into our culture that we think that we're only supposed to talk. Whether it be unproductive or not, we don't pay attention to it. He even introduces profanity in our language to really prohibit the productive power. He even uses us to curse the name of God so that God's word spoken through us can't be agreed with. Because God's name is not. Y'all know what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to watch what you say. Scripture tells us, make sure your words are seasoned with grace. If you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll find out that there's more said about your mouth than anything in the Bible, probably. Yeah. Tongue, yeah. Mouth, speech. Yeah. Tongue, mouth, speech. Tongue, mouth, speech. Our mouths are built for encouragement. There's a power in it. There's a gift in it when we use it to encourage. But what does the word encourage mean? Say it again. Mm-hmm. What were they doing at the Tower of Babel? our tongues are supposed to build up, mm-hmm. encourage, lift one another up. Okay? The bless. Here we go. Is anybody bored? Okay. So what comes out of us depends on what's stored up in us. This world was originally created to be ruled by word of mouth. A world ruled by the word of God. Everything we see in the entire universe was created by spoken word. God's spoken word. We experienced the battle last week. We call it a war of words. Satan devising schemes with words while Jesus responded with words of God. Wow. The word of God. Ephesians 6 and 17 calls it the sword of the spirit. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. A sword is for fighting, for battle, for war. Why would he use the word of God and pronounce it as a weapon? Because when we speak, that's what it's supposed to become. It's a two-edged sword. So we can speak blessing and we can speak battle. Woo! Not only can I use my tongue to bless, I can use it to fight. We're encouraged to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because even you in the true analysis is this. When we speak, we're supposed to be speaking faith words. Speaking faith-filled words. Faith-filled words agree with God. Fear-filled words agree with Satan. I'm afraid. I'm so scared, child. Ooh, you covering yourself with it. I'm just afraid. I'm scared they're going to do this to me. I'm just scared that this is going to happen. Man, I'm fearful. You're speaking death on your life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You're saying things against yourself that keeps you down, keeps you bogged down, tied down in bondage. We got to change the way we talk. See, let me say this. You're not going to have it automatically by trying to quote a scripture and not getting your heart right. Amen. The heart has to be right first. Get the word in your heart. That word have I hid. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Why would you sin against God if you got the word in your heart? Because what's in your heart is going to be produced out of your mouth. Does it tie together now? You had the word in your heart with the heart that's made right. When it comes out of your mouth, you're speaking out of an abundance. You're speaking out of stuff that's stored up. Hallelujah. When the devil tells me I'm not, you ought to say, yes, I am. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Every obstacle. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Continually agree with God. Don't agree with your circumstances. Don't agree with your problems. Don't agree with them. They want you to agree. Sometimes even your doctor wants you to agree. He asks you, well, is there anybody in your family had this? Anybody in your family had that? What kind of line of sickness comes through your family? None of your business. You dealing with me, you're not dealing with my mama. You dealing with me, you're not dealing with my grandfather. You dealing with me, and I'm speaking life. You don't have to wait till you get to the doctor to speak life. Speak life every day. Speak to your body every evening. Speak to yourself. By the time you finish practicing speaking to yourself, by the time you get to the doctor's office, he don't have nothing else to say because life has been spoken in your life. God. Yeah. Say amen to that. Let's go. We gotta hurry now. Oh, Jesus. This two-edged sword for fighting, for battle, for war. And I know it's true. Because Jesus, in the midst of the battle, said so. Jesus said this in the battle. He said in Matthew 4, man shall not live. Jesus is saying, man shall not live by his know-how. You should not live by your know-how alone, but you should live by the word that comes out of God's mouth. Huh? See, when you're storing word up in you, you hear his voice. Oh, God. You hear him in abundance. And every time you hear him in abundance on the inside of you, you're speaking what's in your heart. When you're speaking what's in your heart, you start obeying it. You're actually walking by the word spoken from God's mouth. Have mercy on me. You're working it now. You got to work this thing. Somebody say, work this thing. Hallelujah. Have faith. And Jesus. Now, this is where we missed it last week. We left off last week. We're going to get it today. Go to Mark 11. We said last week, Job said, how forceful are right words. Woo-wee. Forceful. Forceful words spoken rightly pushes circumstances out the way. Pushes hindrance out the way. Pushes intruders out the way. All you're doing is speaking right words, and your right words become a force, and it begins to push stuff out of your way because you're speaking right. Push that trouble out the way because you're speaking right. Push that trouble out the way because you're speaking right. Right words forcibly spoken. Got to speak right. Don't agree with everything. Agree with God. Let me show you how the devil dupes us to cause us to agree with other words. Somebody come with a bad report, and the first thing we say is, that's right. You don't agree. So your mind got to play into this now. Now you got to think. Now you have to think. Get your heart right. Thoughts right. Get your thoughts right. Speak right things. Because you're speaking out of a right heart. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. See, without the born again experience, what happens is that your heart is spoken in the Old Testament. Good God Almighty. Your heart in the Old Testament is desperately wicked. Amen. Above all things. Who can know it? But you're under grace now. You've been given a new heart. God said he did. He said, I've given you a new heart. Once you're born again, that desperately wicked heart is out the window. We got to stop blaming stuff on our behavior. Well, you know the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. Yeah, but it also tells me that I'm under grace. Tells me that I'm born again. Tells me if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature. I don't have a desperately wicked heart anymore. My heart is filled with the word. I'm storing the word up in my heart. I'm speaking in abundance what is in me. I will not be snared. I will not be trapped. I will not be bowed down by the enemy trying to use scripture on me like he did Jesus. Oh, you don't think he used it on us now? Because Satan will say, well, you know, the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked above all things. And he'll have you just miss what grace is. Yeah. He'll have you miss what Jesus has done in the New Testament. Yeah. He'll have you miss that you've been made brand new. Yeah. So such power in words. Mark 11. Hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus has to say in verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. If you're going to speak like God, you must first have faith, confidence, and trust in God. Did you hear that?
Amen.
if you're going to speak like God, you must first have faith, confidence, and trust in God. Jesus said the first thing, have faith in God. He wants you to have that before you start talking. So you got to have that first before you start talking. Because if not, you're going to draw attention to yourself. You might start thinking that it's something you're doing. You might think you're speaking right. And you're getting the credit for it. When you see it produce, when you see it manifest, don't think that it's yours. That's what's wrong with today's prophet. They start seeing things and believe that they did it. I spoke that. No, you did not. Jesus said, have faith in God. That's what he said. For surely I say to you, whoever says, whoever says this, whoever opens their mouth and speak out of the abundance of their heart with faith believing, whoever does this, if you speak with a pure heart, with the right words, with faith believing, look what happens. Jesus said, for if anyone says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not let that doubt come in where? In his heart. But believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. Now, you're going to have to get a real smart person to change your opinion on this one. Because Jesus said it clear. You shall have whatever you say. There is productivity in your mouth. This changes the way my conversation goes 360. It makes me careful about what I say. Because if I'm going to get something out of this speaking process, I can ill afford to take a bend in the road. I can't take a left hand or right hand turn. I got to go forward with this. If it's going to work for me, I got to do what he says. The way he said do it. Okay. I got one more thing I'm going to show you, then we're going to say some kind things to each other. Amen. Glory to God. That's what we're going to do. I just know that we got to start speaking like God. Not only should we be doing what God says, commandments, but we should be saying what God says, commands. Commandments, commands. Mm-hmm. Have faith in God. If you're going to speak like God, you must first have faith, confidence, and trust in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Such power in words. Mm-hmm. Remember, a command beckons us to say it the way God says it, to marshal manifestation. God's command. God's command. When you start speaking right, listen, if only that people before us had the revelation of right words, they could have used them as a force. If only we have a revelation of right words, we could speak our children into lawyers, doctors, teachers, businessmen and women who would glorify God. We could speak pleasant communities that are drug-free, pleasant neighbors that we love and love us, an economy that fits and our people to fit it. Right words, God's words. Speak right words to your body. Speak right words to your mind. What am I saying? Agree with what God is saying. Adam and Eve failed because they didn't agree with God. When your heart speaks right, change happens. A right heart is a heart of faith. It agrees. It doesn't babble. It doesn't get confused. A right heart agrees with God. Doesn't matter how far-fetched it looks, how bad it seems, how impossible it may feel. It agrees with God. Jesus told the disciples, launch out into the deep. Throw your nets over for a trout. They said, we've been fishing all night long. We ain't caught nothing. But at your word, because you said it, we're going to do it. They agreed with Jesus right there on the spot. And when they agreed, they walked in his command. And when they walked in his command, the fish were waiting for them. Spoke it. The soldier stopped Jesus. Jesus is on his way, and he's got a plan. And he's going, and this man said, look, master, I know you got authority. I'm a man of authority. I understand that. But I have a servant that's homesick. If you would just speak the word only, I know it will be done. He believed the word, and he agreed with God. If you speak the word only, I know she'll be made whole. Told Jesus, because I'm trusting what you say, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say it. God Almighty, just say it. Just say it, hallelujah. Walked him out of there. Okay. Let's... The world was created to be well ruled. Let's go to 10 chapter of Romans, and we're going to close out at Matthew chapter 12. We began in a circle, we're going to end it in a circle. Romans 10. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Some words you wake up to and you just can't shake them. I just couldn't shake it. Hallelujah. Let's look in verse 5 of Romans 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks. Hallelujah. In this way. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth, if you agree with your mouth, God, listen to what he's saying there. He said, if you confess if you agree with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Listen. Listen. How then, verse 14, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How do you bring glad tidings of good things? You announce them. You say. You tell. That's what preaching is. You're saying it. You're telling it. Now listen, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. This is our part. Their sound has gone out unto all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Their sound have come to the end of the earth, and their words This world is supposed to be a word-ruled world. Man, you walk around just agreeing with God all day, every day of your life. Whatever God is saying about you, to you, about you, put it on your refrigerator. Practice saying good things about yourself. Speak to yourself. You know, it's easy. It's so much easier to say, I'm sick, than it is to say, I'm healed. Because sometimes when you're sick, you feel it. And when you're healed, you don't. But we're not called to move by our feelings, are we? We're moved by our confession. We have to begin to proclaim that healing is for me. Every day of your life, you get up, even when you don't feel bad, you can just get up anywhere and say it, just for saying it. I'm healed. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. I'm made right by Jesus' blood. I'm healed. All things are working for my good. I'm healed. In Jesus' name. You got to learn how to twist and change your conversation. Don't agree with what people, what they say about you. Agree with what God is saying. Matthew 12, and we'll close it at Matthew 12. Hallelujah. How important are words? How important are words? Matthew 12, verse 36. Thank you, Jesus. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. Can we start practicing right words now? Knowing that they do have a result. There is a result to how we talk. Speak evil against you. Do you speak evil back? See, those are the opportunities. I believe that God gives us training ground just to see how we're going to do. You remember we said now, the Holy Spirit led Jesus. When the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, the Holy Spirit had a different plan. His plan was that Jesus would be proved. Satan's temptation was that he would be lured to evil. We're all given that opportunity all the time. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to be tempted to be proved, tested? Or are you going to be tempted to be lured away to evil? See, this, you got to keep this stuff. You got to keep this stuff. When situations come your way, you got to think quick. Which way am I being pulled? What options do I have? You have the word. You have to agree with God.